But my hero, one of them is a man named Tim Keller. He's a Presbyterian preacher in New York City. He passed away 2 years ago, and luckily he's got his podcast, and I listen to lots and lots of his sermons. And I need inspiration, and I need to get hurry up and go because we got like 10 minutes because the Eagles are playing the Bucks right at home. So I need inspiration, so I listen to him all the time for like the last about 8-9 years. At one point it was like 20 hours a week I was listening to this one preacher, and then I move on to other ones, and he told me a story about Corinthians, and guess what? He was wrong. He twisted it to make it fit his sermon. That hurts me, you know, because I was going to use it today. And I sat down in my basement, in my office, and I was reading 1 Corinthians, and I said, he's wrong. Joey, he was wrong. You know how we know he's wrong? Because we read it for ourselves. But he was pretty close. He was trying to make it better, his sermon, to really tie it up. So that hurt, you know. So here we had Paul last week. Remember, he was in Athens there on the top of the hill, on Mars Hill, the Areopagus. He's there with all the smart people, the geniuses, the Epicureans and the Stoics, right? And they're debating about this unknown God, and they worship all these different gods, and they have a stone that says, this is to the unknown God. And Paul goes, this is the one, the unknown one. You know it. This is the one that created heaven and earth, brought up all the food from the earth, made me and made you. And here's the rest of the story. And they were like, huh, well, that's sort of interesting. Maybe we'll talk again someday. He sees he's getting nowhere. So what does he do when people aren't listening to him? What does Jesus say in Luke 10? If people don't listen to you, knock the dust off your shoes, right? And move on. So Paul moves on. He goes south. He goes 45 miles to the city called Corinth. And that's Corinth. It's like Las Vegas of its day. It had a temple, and it was a place of sin. And what happens in Corinth stays in Corinth, right? And it was such a bad place. But he stops there to start a church. And here's what he does here in Acts chapter 18. After Paul left Athens, he went to Corinth. And there he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. Because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Remember in class I said it was Nero, but I was wrong. Nero came next. That was his nephew, because he married his niece, Claudius, named Agrippina, his niece. And then what did she do? She wanted her son, her nephew, to be emperor, so she poisoned him. Oh, and Claudius had cerebral palsy, and everybody thought he was weak, but he did it. He was trying to improve Rome. Conquered Britain. He was the one who went to Britain and conquered. Not a good thing. But then he also kicked all the Jews out of Rome. And so they left and they went to this place called Corinth, and there Paul meets them. You know, man does things, but God's got a purpose for it, doesn't he? He kicks them all out, but here they meet in Corinth, and they meet Paul. And they're two Jewish people, and he teaches them about Jesus. And Paul went to see these two people. And because he was a tent maker, as they were, here we learn that Paul has an occupation. He's not useless. When he goes somewhere, he goes to work and he preaches in the synagogue. And he stayed there and he worked with them. And every Sabbath, he went to the synagogue. He always does that, doesn't he? He did it in Damascus. He did it in Cyprus. He did it in the city of Antioch. He did it in Iconium, Thessalonia, Berea. And he's doing it here in Corinth. He's going to the synagogue because that's where the Jewish people are. And he wants to talk to them because they know that they're waiting for a Messiah. He's just going to explain, here's the rest of the story. They don't like it, right? So what do? They make up lies about him and get him out of there. And what happens is Paul devotes himself exclusively to preaching and testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. But when they opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes, shaking the dust off, and he said to them, your blood is on your own heads. I'm innocent of it. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. And that's what God says. You're going to take the word to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles. They get it first because they're the chosen one, and they choose to turn it down. So go to the rest. Paul left the synagogue and goes right next door to the house of Titus Justus. He's a worshiper of God. And Crispus is the synagogue leader, and the entire household believed in the Lord. And many of the Corinthians who heard believed, and they were baptized. One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. He said, do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you. This sounds like a hymn, doesn't it? Do not be afraid, I am with you. You guys remember that one? Yeah, go like this. Karen, you know that one. I love you when you are mine. You know that one. Oh. For I am with you, and no one's going to attack you and harm you, because I have people in this city. We were talking about a Bible study the other day. What does a city need so that God will not destroy it? We talked about that, right, Joey? What do we need in the city? We need believers. We saw that Abraham was sitting on the hill overlooking Sodom. And what does he say to God? He negotiates. He says, God, if there's 50 good people in this city, don't destroy it. God says, sure. How about 40? I'll do 40. Well, how about 30? 30 sounds good. 20, about 20. You got it. 10. If there's 10, don't destroy it. He doesn't go below that number, does he? Because it's a tradition where 10 or more, you have to be a city of faith, you have to have 10 people. You can't form a synagogue in a city unless there's 10 families that want to join. It means there's a city, it's a circle of believers. So God will not destroy a city as long as there's 10 there that who believe. Isn't that good news? God's not going to destroy Cherry Hill, is he? Because there's more than 10 here, isn't there? Right, Fran? More than 10. There's at least 11, but there's more than 10. I won't destroy this. When I put that together, it's like, whew. So Paul stayed there for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God. When Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews of Corinth made a united attack on Paul and brought him to the place of judgment. What fascinates me is, and we were talking about, is any of this true? How do we know the Bible's true? We know, we saw when Paul went to Cyprus, right? He went there and he met a man named Sergio Paulus. And Sergio said, go up to Antioch where my family is. And there today, there's a stone with Sergio's name on it. Gallio's name is written in the temple of Apollo, which is up in Delphi. And said he was there in 50 to 52, just like Paul says. This isn't once upon a time. There was a beautiful princess in a tower. This is a real place, a real time. It's there today. The temple of Apollo is there. The inscription is still there. We have these. We know this is true. If all this is true, the whole background to it, what else? This is how much you need. You need, just like Jesus says, faith like a mustard seed, right? To take the next leap. Because everything else lines up. It's all true. There's second sources. And Josephus says so. That these things happened. And he wasn't a Christian. He was fine with the whole thing falling apart. This man, they charge, is persuading the people to worship God in ways contrary to the law. When you're upset with somebody and you want to defame them, what do? We tell lies, don't we? Let's tell lies about the guy. Let's besmirch his character and make up lies about him. And just as Paul was about to speak, Gallio said to them, He's like Pontius Pilate. He doesn't care. This is a Jewish thing. Handle it yourself. I could care less. And he does not care. He says, if you Jews were making a complaint about some misdemeanor or serious crime, it would be reasonable for me to listen to you. But since it involves questions about words and names of your own law, settle the matter yourselves. And they do. And they take Sothenes, one of the synagogue's leaders, and they beat him right up in front of Gallio, and he doesn't care. He just watches. Then Paul leaves and goes to Ephesus. Now, when he goes to Ephesus, he set up a church, right? He's told them how to follow Jesus. He's there for a year and a half, teaching them. Meanwhile, working the whole time and preaching and teaching. And so the church grows. And so now it's time to leave. He wants to go back to Ephesus or back to Antioch near Jerusalem and just to keep on moving, right? Just checking on other people. Get that church in Ephesus going where John the beloved is, right? So he goes back to Ephesus, and there someone tells on him. Someone says, hey, Paul, things aren't going good here. We're doing a lot of fighting here. We're doing a lot of immoral things. Those things you told us not to do, we're doing them. And we know who it is, right? It's a woman named Chloe, right? She writes back saying, hey, Paul, things aren't going well here. So what does Paul do? He sends off a letter, doesn't he? And the letter to the Corinthians, we call that what? 1 Corinthians, right? So he sends them a letter. I'm going to wrap up real quick. One of the things that gets me that says, this is how much faith I need because all of the rest of it's true. We look at 1 Corinthians. He writes this, and he's saying to the people, do you remember that time? They're not doing the Lord's Supper right. I'm going to kind of keep it short. You're not doing the Lord's Supper right. Some people come to the Lord's Supper, and they don't bring food for everyone. It just wasn't a communion like us. It was a feast, a love feast. Let's get together and celebrate that night. And they come together, and they bring food, and some don't share. Some people get drunk on the communion wine, and there's poor people over here, and there's divisions. And he says, you can't have this. And he teaches them about the resurrection. He says, remember when the resurrection happened, when Jesus was crucified and he was raised? And remember all those people that saw him, Peter and James and John, and all five. Remember that time 500 people gathered to talk to Jesus? Remember these times? And then I saw him. So this happened, and you're not respecting what happened. This is what gets me. When was this written? Did Paul have the New Testament? Did he have the Gospels to rely on? This is the year 55 AD. Mark is the oldest one. Mark was hanging out with him. He hadn't written it yet. But Paul, you got to get this one, right? You know, this, you know how I get all vibrating when I get talk about this one. He was writing it before Mark was written. He's writing before Matthew said so. And he's writing before Luke. Well, Luke is kind of with him. So Luke hadn't written it yet. He's telling people about what happened because he was there. You get it? This isn't hearsay. This is a witness to the resurrection. Paul was. He already knows the 500 people that said it was and the 12. And he saw it for himself. He knows about this tradition called the Last Supper. Before it was written. Paul, are you excited yet? So how much faith do you need? Because everything else is true. The resurrection is fact. Because you have witnesses. Over 500. They're still living, Paul says. If you don't believe me, you can ask them. Kim, you remember that time in high school I drove the car through the cafeteria? Did that happen? It never happened because why? It's only been 40 years, but you were there. So if I were to tell, remember I dated the homecoming queen? You could say, no, you didn't. It's the same thing. I can't get away with it. 200 years into the future, you can say, remember that time Sean dated the homecoming queen? Yeah, it didn't happen. You see? Do you see? It happened. Now you've got to go this far. The world's this close. This is the truth. You can't shoot a hole through this book. Good luck. Good luck finding something wrong with this. But what he was saying was, this church is divided. Boy, things go, it never stops, does it? We had the mighty Catholic Church, and then Luther said no more. He said, you know what? He didn't want to quit the church. He just wanted the fakeness to stop. The indulgences, right? You can buy your way into heaven, the church says. You want the gold, silver, or bronze plan when you get to heaven. The bronze one's cheap. There's not good seats there, but you look like a Fran, you look like a silver guy. You know, the gold's for our exclusive club, right? Which one do you want? And Paul said, this was wrong. And they, of course, got rid of him and wanted him dead, you know, because he's opposed because it's about money and who's in charge. And there was division in the church. And Paul says, you are one. You are one in Christ. Some people follow Paul and some people follow Apollos and some people are following Peter. And Paul says, I didn't baptize you in my name. I baptize you all in Jesus' name. It's Jesus. We are one under him. Do you understand? It's about him. We follow Jesus. That's it. It's this far. This is how much faith you need, like a mustard seed. You need this much. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is true. It's bulletproof. We can't find fault with it. The world says it's made up. This isn't true, but time and time again, your word proves true. Not only is it true, but we need it. We need it to change our hearts. We need it to change our minds, and we need it for our souls. We need it for healing and comfort, and we need you. More and more, we need you. We live in a broken world where we take our anger out on one another, and you tell us, do not let your anger lead to sin. The Father knows when we go to sleep and when we wake up, We go to the top of the mountain. He knows we are there. We're in the valleys. He says, I held you in my hands and I stitched you together. And in your mother's womb, I put you together. I know you and you are mine. And we say, act like it. Act like you're made in the image of God. You are made in his image. We are his people. We are one. We are one people. We are his holy temple. Anyone tries to destroy the holy temple, God says, I will destroy them because you are mine. We thank you for this day. We pray for one another. We lift each other up. We pray for healing. We pray for comfort. We pray for your mercy. We are so humbled by you, Father. Go in peace today and go in love. Amen.